ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 7, Text 36. Please repeat. Akinchananam hi dhanam silonchanam teneha nivartita sadhu Satkriyaha Katang Vigayam Nu Karomi Adishvaraha Porodasam Rishyati Yena Durmatihi Akinchananam Hidanam Selochanam Teneha nivarita sadhu satkriyaha Katang vigayam no karom yadishvara Poroda sanghrishyati yena durmati Akinchananang hidanang salonchanang Teneha nirvartita sadhu satkriyaha Katang vigayam nu karom yadishvaraha Parada sanghrishyati yena durmatihi Akinchananang hidanang salonchanang Teneha nirvartita sadhu satkriya Katang vigayam no karom yadishvara Parada sanghrishyati yena durmatihi Akinchananang hidanang salonchanang Teneha nivartita sadhu satkriya Katang vigayam no karom yadishvara Parada sanghrishyati yena durmatihi Jesus. A kinchananam of persons who have taken to austerities and penances to become detached from worldly possessions. He, certainly, dhanam, the wealth, shilap, by collecting of grains left in the field. Unchanam, and the collecting of grains left in the wholesale marketplace. Tena, by that means. Iha, here. Nivartita, accomplishing. Sadhu, of the exalted devotees. Satkriyaha, all the pious activities. Katam, how. Vigharyam, reproachable. Nu, indeed. Karomi, I shall execute. Adishvaraha, O great governors of the planetary systems. Horodasam, the duty of priesthood. Rishyati, is pleased. Yena, by which. Dharmatihi, one who is less intelligent. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. O exalted governors of various planets, the true Brahmana who has no material possessions maintains himself by the profession of accepting Shilanchana. In other words, he picks up grains left in the field and on the ground in the wholesale marketplace. By this means, householder Brahmins who actually abide by the principles of austerity and penance maintain themselves and their families and perform all necessary pious activities. A Brahmana who desires to achieve happiness by gaining wealth through professional priesthood must certainly have a very low mind. How shall I accept such priesthood? Purport. A first-class Brahmana does not accept any rewards from his disciples or yajamanas. Practicing austerities and penances, he instead goes to the agricultural field and collects food grains
left by the agriculturalists to be collected by Brahmanas. Similarly, such Brahmanas go to marketplaces where grains are purchased and sold wholesale. And there they collect grains left by the merchants. In this way, such exalted Brahmanas maintain their bodies and families. Such priests never demand anything from their disciples to live in opulence, imitating Kshatriyas or Vaishyas. In other words, a pure Brahmana voluntarily accepts a life of poverty and lives in complete dependence on the mercy of the Lord. Not very many years ago, a Brahmana in Krishnanagar near Navadvip was offered some help from the local zamindar, Braj Krishna Chandra. The Brahmana refused to accept the help. He said that since he was very happy in his householder life, taking rice given by his disciples and cooking vegetables of tamarind leaves, there was no question of taking help from the zamindar. The conclusion is that although a Brahmana may receive much opulence from his disciples, he should not utilize the rewards of his priesthood for his personal benefit. He must use them for the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai. End of purport. Om jnana timlandasya jnanjana shalakaya chakshuran nilitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha mukham karoti vachalam angam langayate grim yatvihatamaham bande shri gurundi natarinam shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita gadadhar shivasadi govaktarinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Śrīla Prabhupāda, all the assembled Vaishnavas today, His Holiness Palladananda Maharaj, we offer our humble obeisances, Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha, Kripa Sindhubhyevacha, Patitanam Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo, Namo Namaha. It's a very everywhere in the Srimad Bhagavatam there are very important lessons for all of us. This past time of Indra's behavior, Indra seems to be, let's say, chosen or acts in so many different ways to teach us various lessons. Quite frequently, it's how not to act. We learn how to act from the pure devotees of the Lord. In the case of Indra, he's a devotee, be it Sakama Bhakta, somewhat materially inclined. But we learn a lot of lessons from, especially in Srimad Bhagavatam, on several occasions when Indra certainly does things which are quite unexpected from somebody who's so exalted. In this case, of course, he's disrespected his spiritual master, Brihaspati. And Brihaspati is to teach him a good lesson. And to teach everyone else a good lesson too, has disappeared and is not showing himself, although Indra realizing his mistake
endeavor to search out his spiritual master to request forgiveness, but his spiritual master was not giving him audience. So he was in a very difficult situation. Consequently, he consulted with Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma said, because in the meantime, the demons, basically speaking, overran the heavenly planets and became very powerful because they were respecting their spiritual master. Yes, even the demons have spiritual master. Sukracharya, who acts as the spiritual master of the demons, gives them pretty good advice from their point of view. And by serving him and other Brahmins in his line, the Bhrigu dynasty, the demons became very powerful. And basically they usurped the kingdoms of heaven. And Indra was in a desperate situation. He'd lost his Brahma Tejas. Similarly, in our spiritual lives, if we offend a Vaishnava, what to speak of, offend our spiritual masters, then we will lose any strength, spiritual strength. It is not ours, it is the mercy, the grace of the Lord. He bestows it upon us. And the demigods had lost their power, particularly Indra, but he's the head of the heavenly demigods. So under the direction of Brahma, Lord Brahma advised him he has to now get the favor of the Brahmins. So he suggested he approach Vishwarup, the son of Tvashta, and ask him to become their priest. And they will again attain success, providing they tolerate Vishwarup, because Vishwarup had affinity for the demons also. Both. So he said, do tolerate that and you'll be successful. So now we're in this section where Indra is approaching, together with the demigods, he's approaching Vishwarup, appealing to Vishwarup to please accept the post of our priest so that we can perform successful sacrifice, yajna. Sacrifices have to be performed under the direction of an expert, somebody who's qualified. Indra is the yajaman, but he needs the Brahmin priest. Yajaman is the on whose behalf the sacrifice is being performed or conducted. But the priest is the key, or priests. So Vishwarup is now presenting various, in this case, almost like an argument or a reason why it's not appropriate for him to take such a post. He's living a very simple life, very austere life as a Brahmana. Why take the botheration of becoming implicated and entangled in who knows what, various karmic desires of the yajaman? And many times we see the priest becomes compromised. This is his concern here, you know. Brahmins becoming compromised. How they become, in Kali Yuga, this is the, you could say the gateway through which Kali Yuga has entered. Through the Brahmins, the weakness through the Brahmin. And we can see more or less in this age in general, the priesthood in society is pretty much compromised. No matter what ordained religion it may be, they pretty much have to represent the order, whatever that is. And it may not be the actual, the spiritual. So spiritual is compromised in many cases. Brahmins get paid as soon as the Brahmin is a very difficult situation. We're also faced with it in our own society. It's maybe a touchy issue, but you know, Prabhupada has written that priests, teachers, Brahmins should not receive a salary. Because they do. There's a tendency they become compromised. You become dependent. You become, you know, reliant upon the source of wealth. Just like when Bali Maharaj wanted to give away what he thought was his to Vamanadeva, then Shukracharya got very perturbed. And Prabhupada comments that because he was basically depending upon Bali Maharaj for his sustenance. So we see that very often, and you have to say what the leader says. I want you to say like this, and whole religions have more or less been molded like this, practically speaking, in our modern age. And that the Brahmin is supposed to be independent. He's not dependent on a Kshatriya. It's above the Kshatriya, above the leaders of society. He shows respect, but he's not dependent upon. Brahmin is meant to be independent. Prabhupada wanted to especially create a class of Brahmins who could, be independent in that sense, independently thoughtful. They could see from the point of, not that doesn't mean independent of Krishna, it means independent of people's materialistic, objectives, etc. Not dependent upon the ways of this world, but depending on Krishna. And presenting that, Krishna's perspective, and not just being a mouthpiece for the leaders of society and then filling their bellies, or being entertainers, as Vishrut mentions here, in regards to the professional priests. He doesn't want to be a professional, or the danger of becoming like a professional priest and becoming attached. You know that there's an underlying feature here behind this, the danger of becoming proud, becoming attached, becoming proud. You know, pride is the, practically speaking, this is a good verse for me, it's the, practically speaking, the greatest impediment on our actual progress to devotional service. This desire to be, to obtain puja or lobo or patishta, respect from others, return, doing something for, you know, getting something in return materially. It's a great danger in spiritual life. Very fine line. Indeed. We're going to read something from the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam in regards to this subject matter. You know, the Brahmins, each class, everybody has their, let's say, part to play. Just like in our body, every part of the body has its part to play. Only in emergency it may play the part of some other part of the body. The other day I saw a man, he was counting money with his toes. Quite extraordinary. He had no arms in Delhi. He was counting money with his toes. Someone other. But normally you don't do that, do you? You probably wouldn't do very well if you tried. Probably lose all your money very quickly in India. But he was expert. Somewhat expert. But normally you use your hands. Every part of the body has its, you know, part to play in emergency. So Brahmins have their part to play, Kshatriyas, everyone in society, each one of us, has a part to play. And we have our ultimate part to play. We have our part within, say, this material world. Why? Well, that part is not just something random or something just dictated by sense drive, the demands of the senses or that of others around us, but it's for our purpose, at least in human life. Those who are in other species of life pretty much follow the norm, whatever condition they're in. You don't generally see a dog flying in the sky. Very rare. Maybe, you know, a few moments. They don't last long. We don't very often see cats barking. There may be, but it's very rare. We sometimes see humans barking and humans, you know, meowing and trying to imitate, but generally speaking, you know, every species has their particular part. You know. Human life, we have this, say, expression of free will is more manifested, and but that's to be guided. Otherwise, the tendency is, as we all know, it will be influenced entirely by the modes of nature which happen to be predominant at that particular time in our environment. And we are dragged around this way and that way. And, of course, by our karma and our various desires which are a result of our past materialistic interactions. So the Vedic literature, human life is meant for a higher purpose. It's not meant like the animals. Kamasya nendriya ptiyalabho jivetiyavataha jivasya tatva jignas natoyos chaya karma bhi. It's not meant for sense gratification. Animal life is basically for sense gratification, be it miserable, but that's their objective. In human life, that's not the real objective. Of course, there's a certain amount of sense gratification, but it's meant to be regulated. The purpose of human life is to get out of this cycle of birth and death. And the purpose of religion, the purpose of spiritual life particularly, is really meant for that purpose, to bring us to the point of connecting our free will with that of Krishna. Dovetailing, Prabhupada uses the word dovetailing, ourselves for the pleasure of Krishna, connecting everything for Krishna. And for each part, each member of society, whatever order, whatever condition we're in, whatever gender we are, whatever it may be, different conditionings, there are advice, there's guidelines to help us in that higher purpose, jivasya tatva jignasa. That it's to inquire or to find the nature of the absolute truth. That should be the goal of all of our life, of our work. That's what life is for. Tapumbhya dvijishreshta vanashrama vibhagashaha sunishitasya dharmasya sansidhiya haritoshi. That no matter what we're doing in life, whatever order of life we're in, the purpose is to please the personality of Godhead. Otherwise, what's the use? It's shrama evahi kevalam. It's a waste of time. Because, you know, we just stay in the darkness. Most people think that the purpose of, even in Krishna consciousness, sometimes we get caught. We think the purpose is to improve our lot within this material world. To get some material, you know, enjoyments and elevation, freedom from karma. Things may come, they may not come, but that's not the purpose of religion or the purpose of particularly of spiritual life. It's not that, you know, the scriptures are there to facilitate our movement. They do have that, you could say, side to them. But that's not the highest goal, to facilitate one's material condition, but rather to release us from that condition. That's where real happiness comes from. Become a kinchana. This word is the first word mentioned in today's verse. It's having no more material affection or desire to enjoy this material world. One is nashta karma palam karyam karma karotiya sisanyasi chijogi cha nanyaragnina chakriyana. One acts in this world but without any attachment to the fruits. Even the activity itself, one only acts because that's ordained by the Supreme Lord. That's our, you could say, our quota. Everyone has their quota in the Ishavasya Midamasarvam, in the Ishavasya society. And that means, you know, what we've been given by the Lord. We have nothing. When we realize that we don't really have anything, what do we possess? It's interesting, after Bali Maharaj decided to offer his head to Vamana Dev, having given the upper, lower, and middle planetary systems already in charity, so to speak, to the Brahmin. His wife, Vindhyavali, was quite uptight with him. Naturally, he'd just given everything away without consulting his wife, and she was angry. Any woman would, naturally. But not like normal. She said, "You rascal, you are still an agnostic fool. Now you think you're giving something and you're proud of it. You become proud. Now I've fulfilled my promise. I feel good. I've done it. I've three steps of land, or some three steps at least. One's my head." And he's proud. "You are still thinking you have something to give." And this is the underlying, let's say, ignorance from which pride manifests. This idea that we have anything. We don't have anything to give. What do we have? Everything belongs to the Lord. Always, at every stage. We have this false ego as this idea that it's mine or ours. That's what has to be changed. This concept and understanding how everything belongs to the Lord. So scriptures are there. Prabhupada says she was far more advanced than Bali Maharaj. She understood this principle. And when Prithu Maharaj approached the four Kumaras approached Prithu Maharaj, they also used a similar argument the duty of a king, he was acting as a king, is to offer whatever the Brahmins want. But it's already yours. It's not really mine, any stage, to offer you. It's a good argument if anyone comes to your door. But anyway, what to do? I don't have anything to give. It all belongs to Krishna. But of course, you've got to be ready for the fact they might just take it all away. Everything belongs to you. You are representing Krishna. And Prabhupada writes, he said, the Brahmins have no time for all of this business of dealing with money. He said, it's just like a man who puts money in the bank. He gives it to the bank to look after, hopefully. Because he has other things to do. He says, it's like that. The Brahmins, they allow the Kshatriyas and other orders of life to, take charge of these things. Though they're actually the property of the Brahmins on behalf of Krishna. But they have, because they have more important things to do. He says, just like this here. He's a little worried. He's going to get entangled. Indra has definitely got a material motivation here. And he's going to expect something from me, and he would definitely want to reward me. And there's also danger, giving a warning to all of us that, in the case of... Anyway, we'll come to that in a minute, but... just interesting, in the 11th canto, I'll just read this couple of verses here. This is from the 17th chapter of the 11th canto, text 41. I'm sure you all know it off by heart, all the scholars here. Patigrahang, I won't read the Sanskrit, I'll just read the English. A Brahmin who considers that accepting charity from others will destroy his austerity, spiritual influence and fame should maintain himself by the other two brahminical occupations. So as there are six occupations, primarily six. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna talks about the qualities of a Brahmin. Here we're talking about the occupations of a Brahmin. And the quality is the real key factor of what is the eligibility of taking the responsibility of being a Brahmin is the quality, not so much the activity. You can probably train. I remember one time I was talking to I was talking to the deity worship minister, Krishna Kshetra Maharaj, then he was Prabhu. Long time ago. And I said, we have a lot of trouble finding Brahmins to do our deity worship in the temple we're managing. He said, oh, really? Because I think a lot of temples have that problem. I don't know. Around the world. Maybe not in India. But in many places, there's difficulty getting Brahmins, right? So he said, don't worry, we're working on it. We have a plan. We're working on developing a robot. a robot that will do it perfectly. On never late, on time, always clean, and very regulated. And very soon. I'm joking, of course. But sometimes it's a little like that. The demigods are showering you with flowers there. Oh, there's a pigeon just pitched on the flowers. Sometimes it's a little like that. It's almost like a mechanical occupation. Run in and run out as quickly as you can, and if no one's looking, do it quicker than usual. Or skip a few things. You know, it's not necessarily with so much heart. The real Brahmin is not like that. This is his life and soul. He connects everything with Krishna. Spiritual masters, Brahmins, Vaishnavas, they are all supposed this job of connecting everything with Krishna. Prabhupada, it's interesting, he writes, although a Vaishnav is, you can say, more than a Brahmin, in the reality, Brahmin is a material designation, important it may be, as Vaishnav is a constitutional designation. But he gives the example, he said, still, he said, a Vaishnav may be like someone who possesses $1 million, and being a Brahmin is like having $10 or $50, he said. It's nothing. But he said, nonetheless, if that Vaishnav, when necessary, can't give $50, what's the use? He has to be able to do that too. Otherwise it's not going to work. We have to also, people are impressed by the externals, you could say, or attracted by that too, initially. You know, how the devotee behaves, whether it's in Vrindavan or anywhere. Prabhupada said, if your behavior is ideal and following the footsteps of those who are in that position anyway, of the Goswamis, everybody will adore you. It's just a rare as a gem. A devotee who's a kinchana, who's doing his service in this mood without attachment to the results, and under the direction of a pure devotee of the Lord, selflessly. Just like Srila Prabhupada, I mean, he was living here in Vrindavan very nicely, you could say, from a spiritual point of view, couldn't be better. But he'd left Vrindavan from our external perspective, and he, for the sake of others, to perform sacrifice. Vishvarup, he accepts the fact that now he, because it's, of course, they're his seniors in one sense, no doubt, the demigods physically and in one sense position-wise are his senior, he's a young man. So he's going to accept the role, but still, for the higher purpose, Srila Prabhupada accepted this role, took sannyas, lived in Vrindavan, and then preached Krishna consciousness. Great sacrifice. He didn't have to do it. He could have stayed, in one sense, comfortably here in Vrindavan. What he had to go through? All the karmas of so many fallen personalities, like myself. So much sacrifice for the benefit of others. Of course, because pleasing his spiritual master, the request of his spiritual master was to preach. Higher authority. That's called penance. Penance is not like standing on your head or going without eating or, you know, whatever it is, going under cold water, doing this and that, all sorts of things we may come up with. It basically means making the instruction of our spiritual master our life and soul. That's the penance. That's the austerity. That's the sacrifice which pleases Krishna. Sacrifice has to be performed. Without sacrifice, no one can be happy. So the Brahmins know what the real sacrifice is. So the Brahmins, they have these six activities. Patana-patana, yajana-yajana, dana and patigraha. They have to... what do they have to do? Who knows? These six activities. Pardon? Maharaj knows it very well. Maharaj knows. Others, someone else, come on, what do they have to do? What do you have to do? Three of them are compulsory. Huh? Hare Bhagavan, Krishna Kripa, what are they?
One has to study the scriptures, one has to teach the scriptures, one has to do deity worship, one has to teach deity worship, one has to give it to
you. One has to what?
Accept.
To accept?
Yeah.
Accept. charity. Accept charity and give charity. Not just accept it. That part we may do. And same thing with the scriptures. Just study, study, study. You have to distribute whatever you've got, you know, otherwise pride and envy will come in. The same thing in deity worship, whatever form it may take. The Brahmins particularly have to engage people in deity worship, not just do it themselves and keep themselves aloof. It doesn't mean, you know, some, you know, bum, I don't use the word bum, that doesn't sound very nice, but some beggar off the street, some dirty, you know, bungie or something comes off the street, okay, come on, come and do some deity worship, come on. Here you go, hold this. It's how you dress the deity. Not, that doesn't what it mean. It means to, you know, help people to connect whatever they're doing, you know, with the deities. That's their job. You know, Prabhupada, amazing, in London one time, 1975, I was in the temple room. Prabhupada came in to the temple room in the middle of the afternoon, very unusual, on his own. Well, one devotee with him, wasn't even his servant. And a guest was in the temple, I said, two of us in the temple. We bowed down, the guests bowed down with their feet towards the deity. Prabhupada immediately stopped. He called the pujari. Pujari, what are you doing? Well, he said, washing the dishes, Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, no, what are you actually doing? They didn't know what to say. He said, there's a guest in the temple. You're not teaching them how to offer their obeisances to the deity? What type of pujari are you? He said. So that's your job. Everyone who comes to this temple is a guest of the deity, and you're the deity's direct servant. You have to teach everyone how to develop a relationship with the deity favorably. So the Brahmin's job is to connect everyone and everything with the Lord. That's their job. Not just with their material motive desires and so on, but with the ultimate desire of the Lord in mind. So they have these six activities which they have to do. Others, in order in society, the kshatriyas, they may study the scriptures, they may give charity, they may engage in deity worship, but they don't take the role of teachers, and they don't receive charity either. It's very dangerous if they do. They can, you know, very dangerous. Receiving charity is very important. The Brahmins don't, one is a Brahmin, he's truthful. He never misuses one prophet rights. He said, if you spend one farthing of money which is given in charity for anything but what it's supposed to be for devotional service or whatever it is, you will go to hell. It's very serious. We take it lightly sometimes. You know, it's very important. That's why Brahmins, they're supposed, not supposed to, they are. They're not Brahmins if they're not truthful, honest with whatever people give them. They don't keep, they just take what they need for their sustenance, as here we see Vishwarupa. He's satisfied. A Brahmin is one who's satisfied no matter what the Lord provides. Prabhupada gives the example of that Brahmin in Krishnanagara. He was satisfied. He gives another example, Prabhupada's famous example of Chanaka Pandit. He wasn't even a pure Vaishnava, but he was a Brahmin. Chandragupta wanted to reward him. He was basically, you know, by his direction, had usurped the kingdom. But as soon as he was offering him something as if a payment, that was it. Chanaka was off. Finished. I'm not going to be bribed. I'm out of here. They're doing it because that's their duty to do it. It's not because somebody's paying them or they want them to do it or they twisted their arm. It's their duty to uplift society. They don't compromise. They don't compromise. Even if it's at the cost of physically speaking, he will not compromise. They teach the ultimate goal of life, the highest purpose of life. Now, it's not the same for all the orders of life. Different persons are in different stations. Naturally, they have to get, you know, they have different tickets, you could say, and different expectations, different guidelines, but there are guidelines for everyone. And if we play that part in normal circumstances, that's the process of taking one's quota. In Shopanishad, Prabhupada says, warns us to play the part designated to us by the Lord and not imitate others. We may be attracted because of what appears to be external rewards of various kinds, respect and so on and so forth. But if we take the wrong position, it could be disastrous. This doesn't fit at all. We have to you know, it's difficult to establish these things because of obvious reasons, but the general principle is there that we should be. If we're taking this position of accepting charity, whether it's on Sankirtan or in the temple, whatever way it may be, preaching, we have to be very careful we don't misuse whatever comes in its wake. Otherwise, it can be the cause of our fall down in devotional service. I'll just read the rest of this verse. Time flies. If the Brahmin considers that those two occupations also compromise his spiritual position, then he should collect rejected grains in agricultural fields and live without any dependence on others. So it depends, that which is favorable. That which is favorable. If it's actually interfering with their actual purpose of life, we have to be very careful. If it's the cause of material desires awakening, pride awakening, envy of others awakening, there are warnings, symptoms. Something needs to be looked at. You have to be very careful. It's pride of starting to think oneself good, or you know, thinking that I'm the doer, that you know, I'm better than others, and so on and so forth. It's very, very dangerous. And it may come up. You know, money and women, wealth, and women are the two main, you're going to say, obstacles on the path of spiritual life. Those who are too attached to these things, the resolute determination, those who are bewildered by that. For devotional service to the Lord does not take place. That determination will go away. It becomes a materialistically coated endeavor. Next verse. Next one is 43. A Brahmin householder should remain satisfied in mind by gleaning rejected grains from agricultural fields and marketplaces. Keeping himself free of personal desire, he should practice magnanimous religious principles with consciousness absorbed in me. This way a Brahmin may stay at home as a householder without very much attachment and thus achieve liberation. Same thing, Lord Chaitanya said the same thing to the Karma Brahmin. Don't try to imitate. Stay where you are. Be satisfied. Put Krishna in the center of your life. Preach Krishna consciousness accordingly. Everything will come. You'll attain perfection. We will again meet. You don't have to try to imitate. That doesn't mean we have to go out into the fields now. You won't find much in them anyway. Some thorn bushes maybe, if you like thorns. These days, there's nothing left. Yeah, I don't say greedy, but the Vaishyas, they're not usually leaving things anyway, but that's not the point. Whatever comes, you know, Krishna willing, you know, we should be, in a sense, satisfied. Of course, for Krishna, you can say we're never satisfied. And if it's actually for Krishna, then there's no limit to how much a devotee can receive, even from, let's say, impure sources. If it's used in Krishna's service, but we've got to be very careful. Just read one verse. I would like to speak on something else, but time has expired. And this is from the third canto. Very interesting. This is about Lord Brahma. When Lord Brahma was in a position of, responsible position of now creativity, he was very worried. And this was his concern. I pray only to engage in his service, in the creation of the material world, and I pray that I may not be materially affected by my work. For thus I may be able to give up the false prestige of being the creator. Even Lord Brahma was worried. You know, he did. He did. He got carried away a little bit during Krishna Leela with his power, his position. We get carried away sometimes. Identify ourselves with our position, with our opulences given to us by Krishna, whatever they are. Small they may be, pretty pathetic, but we do. But Lord Brahma, you could say, relatively has something to be proud of. Powerful person. The Lord's potencies are innumerable. As he lies down in the water of devastation, I am born as a total universal energy from the navel lake in which the lotus sprouts. I am now engaged in manifesting his diverse energies in the form of the cosmic manifestation. I therefore pray that in the course of my material activity, I may not be deviated from the vibration of the Vedic hymns. In our case, that means from the instructions given to us by our spiritual masters. We not be deviated. We keep that always in front. Instruction of our spiritual master. Every person, Prabhupada says, engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord in this material world is prone to so many material activity. And if one is not strong enough to protect himself against the onslaught of material affection, he may be diverted from the spiritual energy. Priyavata said the same thing. He was very concerned when his father Manu wanted him to manage the universe, and he was, Narada Muni was telling him, don't do it, you remain a Kinchana. And he said, no, Manu said, no, you've got to manage, I want to get out of here, it's my time to retire. And he had to call his, you know, his father, Brahma, had to come down and convince Priyavata to take it up. And he was very worried. He said, I become diverted on the path. I may become diverted. But the Lord Brahma assured him that he would be protected as long as he keeps the lotus feet of the Lord always in the center of his life. Same thing was there with Vasudeva the leper, the Brahmin leper, when Lord Chaitanya delivered him after the Kurma Brahmin incident. Vasudeva the leper appeared. Of course, Lord Chaitanya then cured his leprosy, etc., etc. He was very afraid that people may start praising him. Madhavendra Puri, so many examples are there. Danger of being praised and becoming proud. Sometimes that's all we're looking for. You know, I've already got devotees lined up afterwards to say, thank you Maharaj, very nice class. Well done. Da 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 da. Here we go, one pigeon has confirmed it. Sometimes it's like that, you know, we're looking for some recognition. At least I am. I can't speak for you. Recognition and pride, you know, praise and so on. And someone says something otherwise, get uptight. That's the sign. I mean, one time in London, Bajahari Prabhu, he asked one of the nicest devotees in the temple. His name was Bhumadev. And then some of you know Bhumadev much. Real sweet devotee. He was very brahminical then. And, you know, he was very busy, always busy in service. The temple president, he came up to him and said, Prabhu, there's lots of garbage outside. Go out and clean it all up, will you? No one reacted. What do you mean? I'm a Brahmin. He said, of course, Prabhu. Immediately he went and did it. He said, no, you don't need to do it. He said, I was just testing you to see if you were a Brahmin or not. That's what he said. So don't be surprised if you don't get tested sometimes and see what your reaction is. Oh, that's the worst class I ever heard. Whatever, you know. It may be in so many different ways Krishna is trying to purify us of this pride. Anyway, Krishna told, Lord Chaitanya told the Vasudeva the leper, he said, you just constantly chant the holy names of Krishna. Always. Chant the holy names of Krishna and serve the Vaishnavas. Keep this always in your heart. Prabhupada goes on. In the material creation, Brahma has to create all kinds of living entities with bodies suitable for their material conditions. Brahma wants to be protected by the Lord because he has to contact many, many vicious living entities. An ordinary Brahmin may fall from the Brahma Tejas or the power of brahminical excellence due to his association with many fallen conditioned souls. And we have to be really careful in preaching Krishna consciousness. Brahma, as the supermost Brahmin, is afraid of such a fall down, and therefore he prays to the Lord for protection. You have to pray. The most dangerous ones are often in our own heart. Those vicious, isn't it? Vicious desires within our own heart. We have to pray for Om Namo Bhagavate Narasimha Namaste Tejas Tejasaya Dhiravibhava Vajranaka Vajranaksha Karmashan Vandaya Vandaya Tamo Grasak. We have to pray to Lord Narasimhadev to protect us from these dangers within our hearts. Tear out all these desires for material sense enjoyment. He's afraid of this. This is the warning for one and all in the spiritual advancement of life. Unless one is sufficiently protected by the Lord, he may fall down from his spiritual position. Therefore, one has to pray constantly to the Lord for protection and the blessing to carry out one's duty. And get carried away trying to, you know, establish our position. We don't have a position. Our only position is the servant of the servant, servant, servant. Lord Chaitanya also entrusted his missionary work to his devotees and assured them of his protection against the onslaught of material affection. The path of spiritual life is stated in the Vedas to be like the edge of a sharpened razor. A little inattentiveness may at once create havoc and bloodshed, but one who is a completely surrendered soul, always seeking protection from the Lord in the discharge of his entrusted duties, has no fear of falling into material contamination. And it's like Krishna says to Arjuna, you do your duty, but at the same time you depend upon me. Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu mamanusmriya yujyacha rapito manobadir mami vaishishya shangshayaha. Perform your duty at the same time, you know, you have to remember Krishna or depend upon Krishna. Activities dedicating to Krishna, mind and intel is fixed on Krishna. You attain me without a doubt. In the 18th chapter, he emphasizes expanding that point that you should do your duty, but at the same time you should be always in consciousness of me, both. You have to try to cultivate this. Remember this, that whatever we're doing ultimately is for the service of the spiritual master and for Krishna's pleasure. Then we can be protected, no matter what comes our way. Otherwise, danger is there. As soon as we think we're the doer, this is mine, I'm this, I'm that, then we are a victim of pride. Hare Krishna, Grantra Shima Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Any questions? Comments? Any questions? Yes, Prabhu. The microphone. He was one of the ones I talked to before. I promised him Mahaprasadam after the class that he said the right thing. It's not a very clear microphone, is it? Can you hear? Come close up to me and then I'll say it loud. Come over here. I'll give you an extra cookie if you come close. Just speak to me only.
It seems also to be for our society as a whole, us being a Brahminical society, that we have to cater to, you know, business people or politicians to spread the movement.
Yes.
And then we are selling out of principles or details slowly.
Yes, the comment is, it seems to be a danger for a whole society. We have to deal with business burn and various materialistic persons a lot, and there's a danger there. There is indeed, no doubt about that. Prabhupada warned us, those who are Brahmins, of course, they have to keep themselves spiritually fit. You have to keep very spiritually fit, keep good association, and follow the process very carefully. And, as we just heard from Lord Brahma, we have to be in this mood of constantly praying to the Lord. We don't become attracted to the glamour of this material world. Though it's a reflection, it still may be glamorous to those who are still conditioned. You know, bigger, whatever it is, the opulences, the beauty, is a reflection of Krishna's beauty. So if we forget Krishna, then we'll see it in relationship to ourselves, and we'll start to think, you know, it may be ours, or it may be mine, or whatever. Or maybe I could enjoy it. What am I doing here? What am I doing living here? You know, two chapatis, dal, rice, sabji if I'm lucky. You know, thin mattress lying on the floor in the blooming hot summer in Vrindavan. I could be living in a nice opulent place in somewhere in Hawaii or somewhere. You know, what am I doing here? I'm mad. As soon as we forget Krishna, we may start thinking like that. You know, even here in Vrindavan, you know, we forget Krishna. We start looking for comfort. We start looking for, you know, sense enjoyment. You know, who cooked the pizzas over at MVT yesterday? I'm sure you all know. You know, we start looking for sense enjoyment if we're not careful. I mean, as we said earlier, there are different positions for different expectations for different persons at different stages. But those who really want to represent, or those who are taking the role of Brahmins, have to show by their example, and they have to keep good association and constantly be in this prayerful, humble humility. Don't be proud thinking, I'm okay, I'm protected. Don't even think, I chanted my 64 rounds, I can do anything I like. I can 16 rounds if you're lucky. And, you know, that's not enough. We have to be actually in this humble, dependent state, depending upon Krishna, depending on the spiritual master, praying for Radharani's protection, for Krishna's protection. One time Prabhupada was in his room, and he was praying. He just explained in the class that Uttama Adhikari cannot be affected, but others, even Madhya, can be affected. And afterwards, His servant saw that he was praying to Radharani, please protect me, I not become a victim of Maya. And he wondered, right, how is this? Prabhupada's not, how can Prabhupada be a victim of Maya? He's a Shakti of Aishavatar. How can he be affected? And Prabhupada said, they explained, I mean, in a very deep way, that this is actually, without any pride, of course, but this is actually the position of one who is infallible. They're taking full shelter of the infallible. Uttama Adhikari is not one who's like some special competitor to God, that he's on an equal level of, you know, infallibility. He's infallible because he's completely taken shelter of Krishna. Not because he's some kind of superstar. Anyone, even up to Brahma, can become a victim to attraction, especially to sex life. It's very dangerous. Sex life comes in so many different ways. To money, to so many ways. You go on and on. You have to chant very carefully. Always try to keep chanting, keep chanting. Just like Vasudeva, Lord Chaitanya said, always keep chanting, no matter what. In between, always try to remember Krishna. And try to keep good association. Be careful. If one, especially if one is supposed to be a representative, a Brahmanical representative of Śrīla Prabhupāda. But every Vaishnava has this opportunity and responsibility. Yes, Prabhu. Can you speak loud or you're going to come close again? I don't know why the mic is not really sounding good. You can try.
Can you talk about the dangers of becoming attached to a particular service? Spiritual master may give a service and a danger can be attachment to, I like doing this or I don't like doing that. So
yeah.
How does one, what are the dangers and how does one overcome?
The danger of becoming attached to a particular service. Well, that is, again, that in the beginning, that's not necessarily a danger. It can be a saving grace. It can be a saving grace that you're attached to a particular service. I remember one time in London, one of our leaders decided he thought he knew better, and he left the society and told all of his disciples to come with him. And everyone left, but there was this, almost everyone of his disciples, not all, but almost. There's this one girl, she left, then she thought, oh my God, I've got to dress Prabhupada. Her daily duty was dressing the deity of Prabhupada. And so she ran out, she escaped and came back to the temple to dress Prabhupada. And, you know, she was very, very attached. She couldn't contemplate not doing that service, you know. Some devotees are like that, they're very attached to the service. Now that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's a stage which we go through. It may be a little bit, you know, say conditional in one sense. But in the right association, one will become purified. One will become purified. And, you know, Krishna knows in due course of time that, you know, he'll make an arrangement. It's not a bad thing to be attached. Another time there was this one devotee, he came here just a few months ago. I hadn't seen him for 30 years, he left. But in the beginning he was our top book distributor in England in the early 70s. He was a top book distributor. And his sadhana was terrible. Really terrible. I mean, relatively terrible. And but he was the top book distributor. And he was really attached to being the top book distributor. He wasn't even just attached to book distribution, but being the top book distributor. And he was real attached to it. He'd do anything he could to be top book distributor, practically. And he was a good salesman. But he asked Trivikram Swami one time in a morning class, he said, how is this? I'm lousy. I'll use the sadhana. And almost every day I'm the top book distributor. He said, what would you do if you weren't the top book distributor? I said, I'd go away. I'd leave. He said, just see how Krishna is reciprocating with you. He's reciprocating. So you may be attached to that service because it's keeping you in the association of devotees. And in the association of devotees, you become purified. Hearing and chanting, slowly, if not surely. Now he's really fixed in devotional service. He had to go through a few experiences. But Krishna's hand is working. So naturally in the beginning, like a child, he's going to be attached to his toy. It's only natural. But devotees grow up. You're going to grow up because that service, if it is actually given by the spiritual master, is bhakti. Maybe we're not seeing, or our consciousness may not be bhakti, but the spiritual master is giving us bhakti. And in that association, gradually the heart will become purified of the other motivations or the attachments, which are not so unconditional, we could say. But it's damn sight better than being attached to rock music or you know, women or men or whatever we're attached to in the material world. To be attached to that service is very good, in the beginning especially. And at every stage, we're in a sense attached to doing it nicely, but we're not necessarily attached. That's my service. On the highest platform we may be, but at this stage, we want to become attached to fulfilling the order of the spiritual master. So it does take a little time, that's all. Okay, Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.